Good morning. I call this special meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to order. I'm Randy Christman, Chair of the Commission, joined by Commissioner Sherry Haugenhofer and Commissioner Julie Fedorchak. So we have a quorum. Will you join me in opening the meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you for opening comments. I don't think I have any right now, but have kind of a lengthy schedule, and we're going to see, I guess not the first, I think we did one mine earlier, and now a couple more, but updates in bonding, so I need a little time on those. But other than that, no opening comments. Commissioner Haugenhofer?
Yes, I do. We sent out a press release last week on June 21st regarding the PSC received a perfect score on our federal evaluation of our gas pipeline safety program, and I just want to talk briefly about that. This is something that we are so proud of, that we received this perfect score from the Federal Office of Pipeline and Hazardous Material Safety Administration for our administration of our gas line program in 2022. Just a little recap, what the federal evaluation includes is a review of our annual progress report documents and program procedures and records, as well as someone from PHMSA does actually go out on site and inspects one of our PSC pipeline safety inspectors. And we're a small but mighty staff here. And there's one program manager, Caleb, along with two full-time inspectors, Lakin and Brandon. And we want to thank the legislatures in 2021 with the recognition of the growth of this program and the need that they authorized one of the other inspectors. Was this a surprise for us receiving a perfect score? I'm going to say no, because the year before we received a 99, and the small tweak to our program, it was already being done, but the documentation was needed. So I just can't thank the staff enough for their hard work keeping up on the documentation, the safety, the pipeline safety manual, and the documentation, along with the rapport that they have with these companies to educate and review and to have such a perfect program. And perfect means we keep working and striving to do what is right. So again, on behalf of the commission, the staff, I really want to recognize our pipeline safety program, Caleb, Lincoln, and Brandon, along with the manager, Conrad, for a job well done.
Yeah, very good point, and I agree. Thank you to that team. They're doing an excellent job. Commissioner Fedorchak?
Absolutely. I would third those comments. And just to expand a little bit on the program, basically oversees the infrastructure that goes from the natural gas infrastructure to people's homes and businesses, essentially. Anything from where the meter is into the house is the customer's responsibility. But this is a infrastructure that exists that we all depend heavily on especially in our winter months. It's really important to keeping costs down for folks that have it, for heating their homes during the winter and for fueling businesses. And it's teamwork between the company and our inspectors to make sure that everything that's in place to have the safest possible system is being managed correctly. 100% is a fabulous. That's what we aim for. I do want to say that doesn't mean that there's zero risk. This system is still, has risk. It can't ensure that there is never going to be a problem, but we want to make sure that we're doing everything possible to avoid those problems. And I think getting 100% shows that we are doing everything possible with our inspection program to maintain the highest possible standards and avoid all possible risk. So thank you, Caleb, for your leadership of that program, doing a fabulous job. And yes, the legislature giving us another inspector was a key piece. Mm-hmm. We couldn't get this without that because we weren't getting enough inspection hours to meet the requirements. So that was a very important piece, setting the stage for us to be able to have the type of inspection program needed to achieve PHMSA's standards.
Okay, thank you. We have 8 items on our consent calendar. I move approval of those 8 items and the minutes from the previous meeting.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay. My first agenda item. I move the commission approve renewal number 8 to surface coal mining permit number BNCR-8106 held by BNI Coal Limited for the Center Mine to extend the permit term on the existing permit area for another 5 years from July 18th, 2020. Until July 18th, 2028, and BNI Coal Limited, renewal number 8 for permit BNCR-8106, application case number RC-22-420.
Second.
So on December 8th of last year, BNI filed this renewal application to continue mining and reclamation operations through July 18th of 28th, like I said. The permit covers portions of 6 different counties in Oliver County, but the whole area covers 1,170 acres. BNI applied for this permit renewal because the mine office and shop complex, the haul road, topsoil and subsoil stockpiles, and sedimentation ponds in the permit area are used to support mining operations in other center mine permits. Active coal mining operations are no longer occurring, but there is a stockpile there that they're currently using. BNI submitted the affidavits of publications for the newspaper notices. We notified the appropriate agencies, affected landowners, and the advisory committee members. We received no objections to this renewal application. Permit 8106 and 3 other permits at the center mine are covered by 1 surety bond, and that totals $38,534,432. Our reclamation division has completed its review of this application and recommends approval.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, now moving to a little bit smaller operation. I move the commission approve collateral bond number LC-GRGR-0501-06 in the amount of $427,029 covering surface coal mining permit number GRGR-0501 held by Leonardite Products LLC for the Stony Creek Mine in Leonardite Products LLC collateral bond permit GNGR-0501 approval, case number RC-23-230.
Second.
So the variable costs used to determine the worst case reclamation cost estimate for mines increased in 2022, I think no surprise there, resulted in an increase to the minimum bond amount required for Stony Creek, like most of our other mines. This permit is currently covered by a collateral bond in the amount of $230,675, and that is supported by an irrevocable letter of credit issued by BNC National Bank of Bismarck. Leonardite Products has submitted a new collateral bond in the amount of $427,029, also supported by an irrevocable letter of credit issued by BNC. So really, not that far from doubling their bond. The bond documents have been reviewed by staff who found them to be properly executed.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, and now we'll jump to a mine that needs a little bit more than $425,000. I move the commission approve the rider that increases the amount of self-bond number SB-9501-1 and approve collateral bond number CB-9501-10 that covers all permits held by the Coteau Properties Company for the Freedom Mine and Coteau Properties Company self-bond and collateral bond approval, case number RC-23-233.
Second.
So Coteau filed this application to update their worst-case reclamation cost estimate. The current bonds for the consolidated bond area covering all the permits at Freedom Mine total $186 million. The total amount has to be increased as a result of the new reclamation cost estimate that is based on a worst-case reclamation condition in all permits at the Freedom Mine. The minimum bond amount is now $193,326,000. Coteau usually pads the bond amount for unexpected operational changes and has filed a rider to increase the bond, the amount of the self-bond provided, and they provided a new collateral bond that totaled $200 million. The amount of the new collateral bond is $20 million, and the self-bond amount is being increased to $180 million. Basin Electric Power Cooperative is the third-party guarantor on that self-bond. We allow mining companies to provide up to 90% of the bond amount in the form of a self-bond. The other 10% must be in the form of a collateral or surety bond. And the reason for that is that we assume funds from collateral or surety bonds would be more readily available than funds from a self-bond to begin reclamation in the event of a bond forfeiture. We have reviewed the self-bond documents and found that they have been properly executed and the Coteau and Basin meet the self-bonding requirements. Certain financial criteria must also be met in order to guarantee a self-bond, and Basin meets these criteria by having a bond rating of A from S&P. The new collateral bond will roll over the funds from the existing collateral bond, and Coteau has provided a cashier's check for $1.4 million to cover the difference, to bring that up to the $20 million. They also have submitted a rider to cancel the existing collateral bond so that those funds can be rolled into the new collateral bond. Staff recommends that that we approve the increase in the self-bond and the replacement collateral bond, as do I.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you. That concludes my portfolio. I'll turn it over to you, Commissioner Haugenhofer.
Thank you. I move the commission assess a filing fee of $10,000 and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Otter Tail Power Company 115 KV substation and transmission line, Walsh and Grand Forks, public convenience and necessity, case number PU-23-228.
Second.
So on June 16th, Otter Tail filed an application for a certificate of public convenience and necessity to construct and operate a new 115 kV substation and approximately 6 miles of 115 kV transmission in Walsh and Grand Forks County. The issues to be considered in this matter are, is there a need for service? Is Otter Tail technically, financially fit and able to provide this service? What is the effect on other public utilities providing similar service? And is the proposed service adequate? Persons wishing to desire a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceedings and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by June or July 18th, 2023. And I'm just going to provide you just a little bit more information about this application. The project, as indicated, is a newly constructed 115 kV substation near Ardoch, North Dakota, in approximately 6 miles of transmission line, which will run through Grand Forks County and will terminate at an existing Midco substation located in Walsh County. This project will provide a new power source into the surrounding area and provide additional support to the integrated system and is part of the MISO approved transmission upgrades. This project is estimated to cost a total of about $6.25 million, and pending approval, this project will begin in the third quarter of 2023 and be completed in 2024. So again, this motion is for a hearing, and comments and requests for the hearing must be received by July 18th.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That ends my portfolio.
Commissioner Fedorchak?
Thank you. I just have one item, and it's a good news story, so I'm excited to talk about this one. I move the commission adopt the order in Montana Dakota Utilities Company Natural Gas Distribution Facilities, Burke County Public Convenience and Necessity Case Number PU-23-175.
Second.
So on May 3rd of this year, MDU filed an application for a Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity to construct and operate a natural gas facility system to serve the city of Portal in North Dakota, northern North Dakota. On May 23rd, we issued a notice of opportunity for hearing, providing until June 26th for receiving comments or requests for a hearing, and no comments or requests for a hearing have been received. So we did have an informal on this in the meanwhile. And so we are taking, I would say, almost record action on this proposal since it was just filed on May 3rd. But I think it's all very appropriate. So we had an informal on June 7th to talk to the company and the city mayor of Portal, Lisa Smith, was also on hand to discuss this project and the importance of it to her community. Currently the city of Portal is served by, it has a pipeline service agreement with Sask Energy to supply natural gas to approximately 70 customers in the city. The city owns the assets of the current system and then contracts with Sask Gas for the gas and to operate it, I believe. Sask Energy informed the city that they would require additional insurance in order to renew that agreement, and the city determined that the cost of this additional insurance was not affordable and would require them to discontinue their agreement with Sask Energy at the end of their contract term, which was at the end of this past April. So when this was all coming about, the city began conversations with MDU, and they entered into a new agreement of dated June 28th of last year to construct a new system, and the city issued a natural gas franchise agreement to MDU on February 7th of this last year, 2023. The new system will be comprised of 8,200 feet of 4-inch polyethylene main from a tap on the WBI transmission system to the Portal city limits, and then a new distribution city system within the city limits comprised of 4- and 2-inch mains plus service lines. So these facilities will all be owned and operated by MDU, and all the costs will be offset by a contribution in aid of construction by the city. which is in their rates, plus a calculation of the maximal allowable investment based upon the MDU extension rates. That's in our rates. And then any cost overruns will be funded by the city, and they have received a grant or are in the process of receiving a grant from the state community development block grant to cover that. So the proposed rates ultimately will represent an estimated reduction in natural gas costs for all the customers as compared to the previous city's rates. The proposed in-service date is late 2023. However, that could move back depending upon final approval of this grant to the city to fund the contribution in aid of construction and then obtaining the right-of-way that they need to construct the system. But the city of the city's mayor, Lisa Smith, has worked out an agreement with Sask Energy to continue service until the new system is in place. So it's really a pretty amazing story, all told, of a new system being affordable enough to construct, replace the existing system, tapping the gas that's nearby, and providing service, natural gas service, to this pretty small town of customers at a cost that's lower than what they already had, and that's including an entirely new system. So it's really great. It's a great story. I think it's a wonderful investment, use of the community development block grants that the state receives from the feds to support this community in this way. Natural gas, we know, is vital for communities. It's really important for home heating, especially when you've already got it. If they hadn't been able to do this, all of those homes would have had to been retrofitted with different types of heat, which would have been extremely burdensome for all the residences. And it would have been tough for any industrial customers that might exist up there as well. So I think this order is ready for approval, and I'm very happy to support it today and want to applaud all the parties. We joked that we figured that after completing this deal, that mayor would be entitled to a life sentence as mayor because she had kind of pulled off something that was pretty remarkable. So happy to support it.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Commissioner Fedorchak summarized it very well. It was so impressive to have that informal hearing and to have the mayor here and just her innovation on to lead the city of Portal and to be so proactive on researching and getting things together and well presented. And I agree that Mayor Lisa Smith deserves the key to the city.
Yeah.
And the collaboration with MDU to have this just be a win-win and very forward-thinking and serve the citizens of Portal very well. So good job.
I have a thought while you were explaining the project, even that I didn't have earlier when we had the informal. And I totally agree. Hats off to them for working hard to get the grant, get everything put together with MDU, and for MDU to work cooperatively. It's a small town. It's not a big load. And so hats off to everybody involved. But I think there's another lesson here that we and, frankly, people across the country probably ought to be paying attention to. In my mind, this is possible because of that federal grant. Mm-hmm. You know, it would be unfair to burden ratepayers all over the state with making this possible, and Portal couldn't afford to do this without the grant. They would be, I would expect, better off transitioning all their furnaces and getting propane. And that's why we see other towns not adopting it as fast as many of them would like to. But how quickly and dramatically those lives would have changed based on a decision, not, I expect, based on anything particular there, but just sort of an arbitrary decision of a foreign government. That's what happens when we rely on foreign governments for parts or supplies or resources or anything involved with our energy sector. And, well, because the government's printing all this money, now this one can work out, and so they're getting by. But this really shows the danger of that foreign reliance. And so, kind of thought of it while you were talking.
Yeah, that's true. And
good lesson for us.
We didn't pursue discussion about the insurance costs that increased, but it would be interesting to find out what was the driver behind that. It could, I wouldn't be surprised if it was Canada's desire to stop using natural gas. But I don't know that for sure, so we'll see what that insurance. Be interesting to know.
Never hurts to speculate.
Quote of the day.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, that concludes our regular agenda. Do have a couple of announcements that I want to make. Upcoming meetings on Tuesday, the 11th, we have a formal hearing with NSP regarding an advanced determination of prudence on their 460-megawatt Sherbourne County solar project, and that's case number PU-21-152. Our next regular commission meeting is scheduled for Wednesday, July 12th. Very normal, a Wednesday and at 10 o'clock and a regular commission meeting. And then the next one is actually scheduled for Thursday, July 27th. But in our admin discussion, I'm not so sure that that might not get changed. I might have a recommendation, but for now, the important one, I guess, is the next one. That is July 12th at 10 a.m. No other announcements. So with that, we will stand in recess for some questions from the press, and then we'll reconvene for the administrative portion of our meeting. We stand in recess.